Next up is a former wrestling superstar with a product that changed his life.
Former pro wrestler Diamond Dallas Page has just the thing for you. But be warned, DDP yoga, quote, ain't your mama's yoga.
DDP yoga was designed to help everyone.
DDP's list of clients include former wrestlers such as Chris Jericho and Edge.
I've been doing it for over 2 years and I can't live without it.
And it don't matter what your age or your fitness level or what kind of shape you're in.
It builds strength and flexibility and it's good for your heart.
Diamond Dallas Page is one of the rare wrestlers that has had a post-career career. You are saving lives. The two most famous ones, Jake the Snake Roberts.
One person sticks a hand out, and that person for me was Diamond Dallas Page.
And Scott Hall.
In my lifetime, I've learned hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
DDP
Radio.
So high five.
Hello, my friends, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time here on the East Coast, which could only mean one thing. Welcome to another edition of DDP Radio right here at ddpradio.com. My name is Mike Mullins. I can be found at mike90%.com, and I'm joined by the amazing, the inspirational Stacey Morris. Hello, Stacey. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. How's everybody else?
Awesome. And also, we have the technical messiah of DDP Yoga himself, Robert McLaren. Robert, how are you?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Couldn't be better. We're just days away from the DDP Yoga retreat, and what a way to start the summer vacation. We're going to take the week off for the DDP Yoga retreat next week, and tonight is a very special show. If you are a DDP Yoga warrior or on one of the over 10 million people to have been moved by his story, you know this man is the most insanely inspiring story to come out of DDP Yoga. And if you've had a shred of success in your own DDP Yoga journey, chances are this is the man who brought you here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go on record and dub this man the ultimate DDP Yoga warrior. Arthur Borman is with us. Arthur, how are you, my friend?
Fine, thanks.
Awesome. And Arthur's going to be hanging out with us tonight. So if you want to pick the brain of DDP Yoga's Arthur Borman or maybe debate low-budget horror, Arthur is here for you tonight. Give us a call, 347-994-1216, and get your questions out to Arthur or any of us here at DDP Radio. And just on a personal note, tonight's kind of cool for me because when I started DDP Yoga, my first night that I got the program, I called into this very show, and Arthur was the guest on the show with Sparky, Robert, and Stacey, and I called in and declared my goals for DDP Yoga, and Arthur told me, whatever you do, just stick with it. And I took those words to heart, and this is sort of a full circle moment for me. Almost 3 years later, about 100 pounds lighter, I'm lucky enough to be one of the co-hosts of DDP Radio with Stacey and Robert, and Arthur Borman is back with us to talk DDP Yoga to the next generation of DDP Yoga warriors.
That's fantastic. Wow. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. And before we get into tonight, we have a couple workshops we wanted to talk about. I know Robert has the complete rundown, but real quick, the DDP Yoga Retreat Extravaganza is happening. We are just days away, July 5th through the 9th and the 10th through the 15th, the El Dorado Resort in Casitas on the beautiful beaches of Mexico. I'm pretty sure time is running out, but maybe you could get in last minute if you're interested. Arthur's going to be there. Robert's going to be there. I'm going to be there, and a whole crew of DDP Yoga warriors is going to be there, so you want to get that out there as well. Robert, what else we got out looking at for the DDP Yoga workshops?
As of right now, we've got Hammers Energy Fitness. That's in LaSalle, Illinois, and that's August 9th. We've got a bunch of people in there. We've still got some tickets available, but they're not going to last a whole lot longer, and so you definitely want to get on that. And for the third time, we're going back to Funk Fitness for the third time because we've had such a big response the first two times. So we're going to be back on September 27th, and you can get both those at ddpyogaworkshops.com to check them out.
Awesome. And if you've never been to a DDP Yoga workshop, it's a whole different animal. Working out with Dallas and the whole crew with everybody just pulling each other through the workout, it's a real crazy moment. And Arthur, you've been a bunch of the DDP Yoga workshops, and you're running your own workshops now. You're teaching DDP Yoga. Who would have thought that when you first started and you had those, you know, first inklings, the first, you know, things that I could possibly make this, that you'd be one day teaching others to defeat what you have once defeated?
I'll be honest, when I got started, I never dreamed I would come this far. You know, just it's just amazing to me sometimes.
And I know you're, I call you the unlikely hero, and you're kind of, you know, you shy away from the spotlight. You've been in a lot of programs. You've done a lot of great things in the DDP Yoga community, but you're probably one of the most humble people I've ever met. And you're still willing to help these people. People come up to you, I'm sure, on a daily basis, you know, via Facebook, Twitter, you know, messages, in person, and, you know, ask for your help. And you're still willing to give people advice and help people out after all of this. You know, what is it in you that makes you feel like you can still contribute and give back to people after all you've already done for so many people?
I got my life back. Most, you know, a lot of people don't get that up, don't get that chance. I got a second chance, and I don't want to waste it. I mean, if I can do some good for somebody, you know, I want to. I don't want to just sit there and look back and look at, you know, look at an opportunity to help somebody that I missed.
Stacey, you've been along a similar journey to Arthur, not similar in a lot of ways, but you've lost a considerable amount of weight and had a lot of success with DDP Yoga. What has Arthur done for you in this whole process? I mean, you guys probably fed off each other during your own journeys because you went through your journeys around the same time, am I right?
Well, Arthur's journey was pretty much completed. I actually saw his video. And, you know, the video where he's trying the positions and a lot of the time he's falling over. And it was just, to me, such a testament of what it's going to take to have success. You know, it's not going to necessarily come easily. It's something that I knew I would have to probably work at every day, even after I got to where I wanted to be. And it was just a really... It was an inspiring and a really needed reality check that, you know, this is what it takes. There was no hokiness or, you know, manipulation or promises. It was a very straightforward, you want change, this is what you're going to need to do. And when I saw him at the end of the video, I'm like, well, it's absolutely worth every ounce of effort that it takes. So Arthur, you know, kind of gave me a glimpse of what was in store for me, but he also showed me what was possible if I was willing to undertake it.
When I first undertook my DDP Yoga journey, it was before the big video hit and then went viral. I actually got into DDP Yoga. The first thing I saw was the video that your son put together, Arthur, that montage that he did. And I think one of the things that drew me into it for real was it was a real person. You could see the journey. I mean, you couldn't Photoshop what you did. I mean, there's no way. It's you can't make that results, you know, fake. It's something that happened. You can see the transitions, and that's what was so inspiring to me and a lot of people is the realness of your story. Not sugarcoated. It was a real story and real results. Now, when your son put together that video, what was your initial reaction? Did you think that anything was going to come of this, or did you think? What was your reaction to that video that he did?
I think a lot of people don't understand that video. Did it for me to show me something. He wanted me to know that he understood what I was doing. And my son and I, you know how it is with teenagers. They don't always say, you know what I mean, what's going on. They don't always come out with X number of words and say what's going on in their heads or in their hearts. And in his way, he was trying to show me that he understood and that he respected what I was trying to do. And originally, it was a personal thing from him to me. And my wife and I were looking at it, and she knew that I'd put some of those other things out on the web, and she said, well, this has to go out there. So that's how it ended up, originally, for mass distribution. It just kind of happened. I mean, I never planned any of this. It just kind of, what's the word? I just kind of backed into it somehow.
And That's a great, you know, that's one of the great perks of your story for everybody is how organic it came out and how, you know, it wasn't forced by anybody. It wasn't put out by a marketing firm like saying, Nike, look what this guy did type of thing. You know, DDP Yoga put that out. But one of the best things about Dallas's video that he did with you was the fact that he didn't brand it. He didn't brand DDP Yoga on the branding of the video. It was more of an organic kind of the way it came out and, you know, just showing your story, which led people to DDP Yoga and led people to find out what you did with DDP Yoga. And you were one of the first, you were probably the first person to start blogging about your experience with videos and showing people the modifications. And a lot of people who do need those modifications are inspired by your story. And what can you tell people about, you know, still doing DDP Yoga with the modifications, people that aren't in the best shape physically or, you know, overweight and need these modifications? How big were those modifications for you to get to where you needed to be?
Coming up with the modifications originally was, you know, was not easy. I mean, I had to really think through what I was doing, and I had to learn a lot while I was doing it. At the same time, I had an advantage over most people coming into that. My day job is all about modifications and accommodation. I'm a special ed teacher, and my job is to look at a task a student has to do, figure out what the core skills are. What are they trying to accomplish with that? It's like when they're reading Romeo and Juliet, they're not out to read Romeo and Juliet. They're out to develop certain skills, and reading Romeo and Juliet is the means. So the same way, when you're doing Triangle or when you're doing a Road Warrior, your goal isn't to do Road Warrior. It's to build muscles, to open up certain joints, to lengthen certain tissues. And for Dallas Days, where if you're feeling it and you're breathing, you're doing it right, even if you're not super deep, well, that's the same thing. I had to take that, and then I had to go back and analyze the positions and find out what it is. What muscles are they lengthening? What am I trying to do with this position? Figure out how can I modify the position so that I could do it from where I was at and still get that same goal. So in a way, I was applying what I do as a special ed teacher to what I do, you know, with the DDP yoga, to how I modify that position. And once I really got through that kind of that intellectual leap on how to do it, it just became a matter of analyzing. And again, it's almost like drawing out a curriculum. So it's, you know, something anybody can really do if they stop and work it through. But there is some research involved. There is some thinking about it involved.
And I tell people all the time, I think one of the greatest things in DDP Yoga is being able to see something you could do today that you couldn't do yesterday. How was that a motivating factor for you to see that, you know, I could do something today that last week I could not do?
That was immense. But more important than that, really, was the feeling. You know, having sensation returning to my body was incredible. I mean, there were things, literally, I had not felt for a long time, and I began to feel parts of my body moving again, and I began to actually get sensation back from parts of my body that I couldn't feel. You know, one thing I talk about with diabetics, and I was borderline. I'm always amazed that I never came. That my doctors checked me for diabetes just about every time they saw me. I was, you know, morbidly obese.
I have a question for you, Arthur, because I was just so impressed and enthralled with that video of your progress of, you know, mastering certain positions and, you know, your posture changed. You just literally became a different person. But it looked so, you know, in some ways so quick, the process. But how was that a period of months, would you say, from starting out and falling over to that point where you actually were able to stand on your head?
That was like 8-10 months
uh-huh.
from when I started to when I got, how to put it, from when I started to when I first began to think about a headstand was about 8-10 months. And then to actually get the headstand down took another 5 or 6 months. And the funny thing is, while I was chasing the headstand, I was falling all over. But when I stopped chasing it, it came to me.
Oh, interesting. What did you do in those moments when you fell over? I mean, did you feel anger? Did you feel like, did you ever feel like giving up and just saying, okay, I'm going to stop here and just not pursue the headstand?
I did stop, but I didn't stop and quit. You know, there's an old thing I learned a long time ago. I used to be a paratrooper. And according to the Army, you never lose that. One of the things they teach you is when you hit hard, just take a second. Like, if you get hit so hard, you get knocked stupid for a second. The first thing you're supposed to do is just kind of, you know, what's going on? Just take just a second to sort of get your bearings, kind of inventory yourself. Am I hurt? What's going on down here? Then you got to figure out what it is you're going to do really fast, and then you got to do it. So you're taking, like, 3 seconds. One. Am I okay? Yes, no, and you got to be honest about that. I mean, if you hurt yourself, don't just get up and say, I'm not hurt, and keep on going. If you're hurt, you know, obviously. But two, what am I going to do? What did I do wrong, and how am I not going to do that again? And then three, get up and do it. But you can't let yourself stay down. You can't just stay down there forever and say, oh, God. But you develop that routine, that intellectual process of saying, and it is an intellectual process, it's a cognitive process, saying, one, I'm going to do this. Two, I'm going to do this. Three, I'm going to do this. And then you're back up and you're doing again. You automate it almost, so you don't stop on the ground. You got to take that second, get your breath, get your bearings, get your plan, and get up and execute. If you let yourself down, it's going to be harder and harder to get back up. Every second you're down, it's harder to get back up. So you've got to get back up fast, and you've got to get back up thinking.
And I have a quick question before we get to callers. Arthur, in your situation where you're on two canes, your doctors have told you you'll never walk unassisted again. I mean, there's a lot of people on DDP Yoga, on the Team DDP Yoga page, that feel like things are hopeless for them. Where did you find that motivation to kind of just pick yourself up? And your doctors are saying one thing, and you're going to say, well, I'm going to keep trying. Well, I mean, a lot of people would have given up in that situation and accepted it. What made you, you know, what made you say, that's not a fate that I'm willing to accept?
Well, my sons and my wife. I mean, it wasn't about me. I didn't know if I would succeed or not. I did not know if I was gonna, if this was going to work. I didn't expect to walk again. I never expected to walk again. But I was trying to stay alive. I did not want my kids to think I gave up. Because giving up isn't giving up on me. Giving up would be giving up on them. Giving up would be saying, I am too tired, I'm too old, I'm too whatever. I no longer want to try and stay with you. It would be like saying to my wife, nice, bye. And I don't believe that, but that's what I was doing. When I gave up on myself, and I did once, hard, and it was a bad thing. I gave up on myself, and I basically said, okay, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I didn't actually, it's not like I'd written a suicide note or anything, but I just decided that this was going to kill me and that I couldn't stop it. So I had accepted it, the whole Kubler-Ross thing. I had accepted that I was going to die. But the reality was I was saying to my kids that every time I stuffed myself, that I cared more about that pizza, I cared more about that ice cream than I cared about the years that I wasn't going to be able to spend with them. I was saying that to my wife, that I valued kicking back in that recliner and vegging out in front of the TV set more than I valued staying around and growing old together with her. It's not what I believe, but it's what I was doing. My actions did not match my beliefs, my values. And I had to reconcile that.
Wow. That's powerful, man. And we have a lot of people who want to get on with Arthur tonight, so we're going to get to some callers if you don't mind, Arthur. Arthur Borman's on the line, 347-994-1216. I believe our first caller is Carmen. Is that correct?
Robert?
That's correct.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Good, Carmen. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you. Well, you know, some of my questions have already been answered just, you know, by you guys talking. My main question was just, how do you stay motivated? How do you keep motivated? I mean, when I just do a simple yoga tape, because of my medical issues, I have to use like two yoga pads because the, you know, the pain in my joints is just, you know, excruciating. And I'm just, well, you know, I just want to stop and, you know, get back on the couch and grab a cup of coffee or something and just forget about it. How do you, you know, suggest or we, you know, keep motivated and just keep at it as much as we can?
Well, I'll be honest. I've used every trick in the book. And I still do. I reward myself, never with food, but I reward myself a lot. You know, I'm as you may have heard Robert say that I'm kind of a you know horror movie fan. I'm kind of a nerd, and I take myself out to conventions. I buy myself books. I buy myself collectibles. I tell myself if I get this done, if I reach this goal, I'm gonna get myself something. I'm gonna you know. That's one thing. There are so many other things you can do. Here's a simple one. This works for me very, very well. I took a picture of myself, one of my old, ugly, fat pictures, and I printed it off, a bunch of them, and I laminated them to the door of my refrigerator and several of the cabinets in my kitchen with one phrase over the top of it. Is it worth it? So I go up to that
refrigerator. That's a good one.
I go up to the refrigerator.
That is a good one, yes. Mm-hmm.
Me to look at myself all ugly and fat. Is what I'm eating going to make me look like that? Or is it going to make me look like this, like I do now? So, you know, that's a simple one. And, you know, maybe it's a cheap trick, but cheap tricks often work.
Well, that sounds like it might work. I'm also one of those emotional eaters. And, you know, something happens where it just stresses me out, and I find myself in the refrigerator eating something and not even really knowing how I got there.
Well, again, that's one other one that'll really help emotional eaters. Very, very simple. Emotional eaters don't plan out what they're going to eat in advance, right? I mean, it's a sudden, spontaneous thing. Okay. Get rid of all that kind of food in the house. If you're an emotional eater, fine. You absolutely cannot control being an emotional eater, fine. Emotionally eat a whole bunch of celery.
Wow.
I mean, there are
awesome.
Always ways around things like that. And a lot of it comes down to planning. I'll be honest, I could tell you what I ate yesterday, I could tell you what I ate 3 days ago. I could tell you what I ate 5 days ago. If I go up onto my bookshelf and pull it down, I can tell you what I ate every day for the last several years because I keep a log. Before I eat something, I write it down. And I tell you what, that will stop a lot of that.
That's a great point.
Pardon?
I was saying that was a great point. Go ahead.
Yes, it was. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, we talk about getting rid of the junk food in the house. If you have, like I said, there are things you can eat that have very few calories and are actually good and healthy. I love to keep a whole bunch of celery around the house. It's an easy thing to eat. It has no real, a lot of fiber, so it'll make you nice and regular, but it won't, you know, it won't fatten you up or anything. Again, getting rid of the junk food, keeping healthy snacks around, putting the little signs up, holding yourself accountable in a lot of other ways. And one other thing is logging what you eat and also planning out what you eat. Why are we spontaneous eaters? That is one of the worst things I've ever seen, but we have developed this culture where people will simply go out and for no other reason than, hey, it's something to do, they'll stop and eat something that they really shouldn't eat. But they do that, and it's not healthy, and it's not good for them, but they do that. And I think getting rid of that spontaneous eating thing is really very useful. If you get rid of the idea that you can simply go out, you know, the food court, eating, just don't do that to yourself. If you get away from that kind of thing, that will help you immensely. There are a lot of little things that combined you can do to get rid of this, you know, this emotional spontaneous eating thing. Does that help?
Oh, it's helped a lot, a lot. I thank you so much for, you know, taking my call and answering my questions, and those are some of the things that I can work with.
Oh, great. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling, Carmen.
You're welcome. Good night.
That's a great point, setting yourself up for success. And it, sometimes it's so simple. You know, if people who are in these situations is just not having the food in your house. It's sometimes that simple. All right, we have Dave on the line. Hello, Dave. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Arthur, this is Dave. You actually surprised me with a phone call to a couple of weeks ago, if you remember. You gave me the opportunity to contact with you. Man, I'm sorry?
Is it still going good?
Yeah. I slipped and got injured, so I was really almost basically bedridden for the last 2 weeks, but even, you know, usually before back in the day, I would just be totally down on myself, you know, thinking I'm useless. I mean, we talked and we spoke about it. I mean, depression is no joke, especially when it comes down to weight. I mean, I was suicidal. And, I mean, I didn't like pictures, taking pictures with the family, taking pictures with my kids and my wife. I hated it all. And just like, you're such a huge inspiration, Arthur, that it's life-changing. And just like you said, DDP yoga is not a program. It's a life-changing thing. You know, logging your food, shopping for the right things, not, you know, definitely not going and, you know, to the grocery store and shopping when you're hungry. That's a big thing because you're just going to get all the garbage that you're craving.
Uh-huh.
What you said about what you did with the picture of yourself, I recently did something very similar. I don't have a picture of myself, but I put on my refrigerator what you eat in private, you wear in public. Stop fooling yourself. You know, and stop fooling yourself if everyone else sees it. And the main one that's the most important one to me, Arthur, when we were on the phone, you hit me with reality, and I was so appreciative. After the phone call, I was in tears because something you said still sticks to me. And you said you haven't done it for yourself, so do it for them, you know, for my wife and my kids. And, you know, my kids right now are in New York with grandma and, you know, on summer vacation, and I made a promise to them that they will see a physical difference when they get back home.
Wow.
So I never broken a promise to my boys. I don't plan on it. You know, I just wanted to thank you for taking that time and, you know, like, this is the first time I've been part of something that nobody's high or mighty. You're just there to help each other and inspire each other, you know? I mean, even with Dallas commenting on Facebook and all this other stuff, through you guys of inspiring me, you know, I got a blog now, and I felt that, you know, putting up a Facebook page with my videos, which I would have never, ever, ever done before I spoke to you guys, I feel like I'm helping myself keep accountable if I make my goals, you know, and my passion for this public, you know, and I believed in it so much before I even purchased the DDP yoga set that I even had my friend Steve, you know, get it before I even, you know, used it, you know, and he has it now. We spoke for like over an hour on the phone just on how much we love it and inspiring each other. And I'm making a lot of friends, and the support system is amazing. And I definitely want to say, if you have the chance and you get a hold of it, get part of that support system. That alone will help change and save your life.
I'm so glad to hear that.
It is an amazing system. I can't express my passion for it enough, and I won't lie, you know, it's still building blocks for me. You know, I'm still building up to accomplishing so much because my esteem was so low, and to an extent still is, you know. And I watched that video, and I watched the extended version. You know, I found, you know, the 9-minute version. That 9 minutes of, you know, of watching that instead of watching some garbage reality show on TV that's fake, you know, whatever it is, or anything else, is a better choice. You know, I'll watch that 9-minute one. I have it saved in my favorites. And when I think that, you know, this is so hard or I can't do it, I just watch your video over and over and over again.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for calling, Dave. It's, you know, it's great to hear your journey is going well. And keep us posted. Seriously, Carlson, again, let us know how you're doing, because I think a lot of people in your similar situation would be inspired by that. So I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
All right. We got lots of callers tonight, so we're going to try to keep it brief. But we want to get people on here to talk to Arthur. Arthur's inspired a lot of people. We got Hashim, is that how you pronounce it?
Hashim.
Yes.
Hi, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? How's everybody doing on the phone? How are you doing, Arthur?
Fine, thanks.
It's so good to finally hear your voice.
Wow.
Awesome.
And I just want to let you know that, you know, your video has definitely touched a lot of people around the country and in the world, and I am definitely one of them. And because of you, I got started in BDP yoga. And I was just really curious about your journey. When you started, did you follow any schedule of when you started doing this, or did you just start going about whatever you could do? I'm just curious how your early journey was, you know, so you wouldn't, you know, from your struggles.
Well, when I got started, they didn't have the series of DVDs that you have now. Back then, they were called YRG, and
yeah.
I started with the old YRG tapes, and they had a short one and a medium length one, and I was doing the short one just about every day, and I was getting up, you know, very, very early in the morning to do it because I worked long hours. In fact, I still work long hours during the school year. I'm on break, yay. But, you know, I was getting up around 4 in the morning, sometimes earlier, and knocking out my workout. And that way, no matter what else happened, I knew I got my workout in. So that way, you know, no matter what else came up during the day, you know, I was done. I'd gotten it in. Now, the thing from there was that I was alternating every other day a longer and a harder one, and then I got the next harder series.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest, with the old ones, you had the 50-plus, which was for guys who were 50 pounds or more overweight or over 50 years old. Then the next thing I had was the Fountain of Youth program, and the last thing I had was the regular guys program, which was really, really, at the time, a very hard workout for me. And I just kept on working with them. And we started alternating the harder ones. I kept going. And how do I say it? You know, you just keep pushing yourself to your limit. You know, you don't want to push yourself to an unreasonable point. But, you know, you're pushing yourself as much as you reasonably can do. And you're trying to be consistent. And I think that's the big thing, is consistency. Just being consistent about what you're, you know, about getting your workouts in, being consistent about getting something done every day. That's more important than, you know, going out and killing yourself once a week. You know, you always hear about the weekend warrior, the guy who doesn't work out at all during the week, then on the weekend he goes out and kills himself, and he's the one who comes in Monday morning hobbling. And that's the thing. You can't be that guy with this program. You have to be consistent. You have to be, you know, regular And, you know, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get people to be consistent with the workout. I mean, if you can't 100% every day, you're better off doing it at 80, 90% every day or whatever you can reasonably do every day. Be consistent. If you're going to build a rest day in, build a rest day in, but be consistent about it. Don't just arbitrarily say, oh, I'm tired, I'm not going to do it today, because then you're not going to do it the next day. But if you say, okay, I'm going to do it Monday and Tuesday and take Wednesday off and do it Thursday and Friday and take the weekend, you know, fine. If that's your schedule, you want to build a schedule that you can do, you know, set yourself up to succeed and just stick with it.
Thank you so much, Hashem, for your call. Does that help you very much?
Yeah, very much. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I'm really glad. I definitely wanted to hear that. I mean, But yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Art.
Right.
You take care, guys.
Take care, brother.
All right. Have a good night.
I think it's great for people hearing Arthur's schedule because, you know, knowing from what he came from to where he is now, and it's just a great roadmap for what he's doing. Stacy's got a couple email questions to get to real quick, and then we're going to get to as many callers as we possibly can tonight with Arthur Borman here. Stacy, we got some email questions?
Yes, we do. And, Arthur, I'm going to start with the one that I emailed you yesterday because I know you've had some time to think about it, but just so our listeners get some background. This is a member from Los Angeles, and he's got very bad knee issues from being overweight. And apparently he's in so much pain that even doing just one of the moves from Diamond Dozen just really hurts too much for him to continue. And he's kind of at a standstill. He wants to change, but he kind of just sits there looking at the DVDs and not doing the workouts. And he was really wanting to know from Arthur how he can get past this and start to, you know, transform his habits in every way, his eating habits, his exercise habits. He's really in a place of just not knowing how to approach it.
Well, there are a handful of things, different ways to approach this. And I'm going to shotgun this because I don't know specifically what caused the initial knee problem or if it was a knee problem that just came from being over. Because a lot of times people who have a knee problem won't realize it until they get a lot of weight on it, and the weight exacerbates a pre-existing problem with the knee. So it could be he had an old injury or something, and then the weight is making it worse, which is what happened to me. I had very bad knees from being a jumper for all those years. The weight, combined with some minor injuries that I'd had before, made the injuries worse, and some of my major injuries kicked in and made it even worse. So one thing, obviously, is you want to get it checked out. It sounds like he has. So if you have mechanical problems with the knees, sometimes elevating the heel just a couple of inches can give you a little bit more stability and keep that knee slightly bent. Now, one thing you never want to do, of course, is hyperextend the knee. You got to be very careful about that. And if you're not stable when you're just on the toes, you do want to prop something under the heel to give you that support. Now, that's only one part of an answer. That is a part, but not the only part. Now, cortisone shots in the knees, I've been reading. They have some different things. I talked with a friend of mine who's a chiropractor. Now, he's not an MD. He's a DC. And what he said is that doctors are putting all kinds of things into people's knees nowadays, artificial lubricants and such. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. Don't play one on TV or anything. But a lot of doctors are having really good success with things like that. But again, those are temporary solutions. Now, when you're in a situation where you've just got chronic pain, obvious statement, you really want to be careful with. You don't want to push yourself to the level of pain. Pain is a neurological warning system. It's telling you something bad is going to happen and ease up. It's like the red light on a car. So you do want to be careful about pain. Okay? At the same time, there are things you can do. You can ice yourself to help keep the inflammation down. You can use anti-inflammatories, but again, talk to a doctor first. if you're just looking at it in terms of the motivation, how do you motivate yourself to keep working? You know, that's something we can talk about. Again, we talked about giving yourself rewards and such. Holding out that image of yourself that you can be more than you are. We all have within us just the capability of really amazing things. Forgive me, I'm kind of a nerd here, but if you stop and think about it and you break us all down to chemicals and cells and elements, at the same basic level, we're all protons, neutrons, electrons. We're all the same stuff that a star is made out of, which is pretty awesome if you stop and think about it. And if you choose to look at yourself that way and say, I am capable of incredible, immense, wonderful things, then you have an obligation almost to the universe to do something with it. You know, everyone has something that they can be absolutely brilliant at. And the thing is finding that thing. And for those other things, those things that you're not absolutely brilliant at, there are a lot of us, and I'm one of them. I will never be that guy who looks like the anatomy chart. I will never be Arnold Schwarzenegger with the million muscles and a heavy Austrian accent making $1 billion for a movie. But I can be a very healthy me. I can be a me who is going to live a long and a healthy long time. And that's enough.
Mm. Arthur, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And that's, every question that I've had by email pretty much centers around fear and around, I want to do this, but I just, for some reason, I'm not motivated. How do I get motivated? And you just brilliantly answered that. So thank you.
Fear is a couple things. Some people are in fear of pain, and that is a normal, natural fear. You know, pain is part of life. Pain is mandatory. Suffering is optional. Wow, that's very Buddhist of me. But part of it is, though, you know, things are going to hurt, and you have to learn to manage that pain. And this will help you. A lot of times, pain comes physically. Pain comes because we have burned out the cushioning between our bones. That's one that you really do need to see a doctor for. Other times, pain comes because we have misaligned our bodies so badly that we're pinching nerves. And that could be in the spine. It could be in a joint. And that will come, that will fix to some degree with adjustments. I'm a strong believer in chiropractic. And it will also come with getting flexible and stronger. Some of our pain is because the connective tissues are very tight. And that comes with not just DDP yoga, but also by adding in a component of long, deep holds. And that's where you have to really spend the time in a position. It's like getting into can opener, finding where you belong in can opener, and staying there for a while. And I mean 2-3 minutes sometimes, or longer when you get used to it. Think of safety zone. If you go into safety zone and you learn to stay in safety zone for 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 minutes, you were doing something wonderful back. If you can learn to stay in a quarter dog for 5 or 6 minutes, you're opening up your shoulders to a degree you just can't do otherwise. And when you open it and you hold it open, you're stretching out those connective tissues, the ligaments, the tendons, the fascia, and that's going to prevent injury, but it's also going to help you to align that joint, relieve the pressure on those nerves. So by lengthening and strengthening muscle, by lengthening and strengthening connective tissue, by realigning the spine, you can physically handle that pain. But it's the mental game. And it is a game almost, because it's something you have to learn strategies for. The mental aspect of dealing with pain is important. You have to learn to say, okay, this is a reasonable thing, and this is not. And where do you fit in that? You don't want to get all macho and say, I'm going to do this position, even if it kills me, because it probably will. if you simply work on getting healthy, if you allow your goal to be, I'm going to do 15, 10-second push-ups, you may or may not ever succeed. But if your goal is, I'm going to get healthy, that's something you can do. So one of the things people have fear of isn't just pain, it's failure. If you set yourself up with goals that are so monumentally huge that you never achieve them, you're going to fail. If you mission creep yourself, you're going to fail. If you sit there and you say, okay, I'm going to do a three-second push-up, and then halfway to the three-second push-up, you're saying, okay, I'm going to do a five-second push-up. And then if you're finally getting the five-second down, you say, I'm going to do a 10-second push-up. I'm going to do eight 10-second push-ups, whatever. You're going to beat yourself to death. You've got to say, I'm going to get this done. And then I'm going to take a second. I'm going to celebrate. I got it done. Yay. I can do this now. And take a minute and enjoy that. I don't mean rest on it forever. But acknowledge that you succeeded. Acknowledge that you had a success. If your goal with DDP yoga, and I would submit the best goal of DDP yoga is not to get thin, it's not to get strong, it's not to get pretty, it's to get healthy, it's to get old.
Mm-hmm.
Look at yoga teachers across the board, and then look at, like, fighters or MMA people or even acrobats. You want to see something terrifying? Look at a recent picture. There's this one Chinese acrobat. And they remember, she's the girl who used to put her sternum on a balance beam and bring her toes over her back in front of her. This woman can barely walk now because she abused her body so badly when she was a teenager. Our goal isn't to get all super healthy and then in 20 years we can't walk. Our goal, to get super strong and then we can't walk. Our goal is to get healthy. One of my role models, if you will, there's a yoga teacher named Porshan Lynch. She's 93, and she still teaches. I have a goal. I want to teach a yoga class on my birthday, every birthday, for the next 50 years.
Wow. That's a hell of a goal right there.
Thank you. And I hope I succeed.
You're going to do it. You're the guy that's going to do it. If you've been through so much that you're going to do it, I guarantee it. We're going to move on because we're going to grab a couple more callers to get in here before we wrap things up tonight because we have so many people that want to talk to you and so little time to do it. So we're going to try to get as many people on as we want, and we want to get them all on, but as we can. But we have Steve on the line. Is Steve still there with us?
How you doing,
Steve?
Mike, this is Steve, Boston.
Hey, Steve, what's going on, man?
Nothing, just waiting to talk to one of my major inspirations, to Mr. Arthur.
Hi.
Arthur, I want to say hello, and I also want to say thank you. I had received a video link from my friend in Thailand to your video on Diamond's page. And, you know, my friend had told me for a year, please try yoga, please try yoga. I've suffered for 12 years, pretty much the same, the knees, the back. I've been to the point just in the last 6 months where I went to only being able to work 15 hours a week, and I was probably 1 month away from filing for Social Security disability because after 12 years, I had just reached the point where I'm done. I just cannot walk. And from my friend sending me your video, and then I purchased the DDP yoga, and in 6 weeks, I was able to walk into the Boston Fitness Expo and shake Dallas's hand in person. It was amazing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, Steve is killing it, man. He was to the point where he couldn't walk without a cane. And when he came up to us at the Boston Fitness Expo and said, I walked from the train station, that was just a huge testament. And, you know, you're doing awesome, Steve.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I grew up around cars and bikes, you know, my whole life. I fixed cars my whole life. I haven't been able to ride a motorcycle in 10 years because of my problems with my back and my legs. And this is a long weekend for me. I just put in a 50-hour week for the first time in 6 months, and I am getting out on the motorcycle this weekend to have, like, my weekend of liberation, to getting my life back. And I just cannot thank you enough for your inspiration, Mike, Robert, Stacy, Dallas, everybody who I've talked to online. It's just amazing.
That's awesome.
Way to go, Steve. Keep killing it, my friend.
Yeah,
that was great work.
I could talk to you for hours, but listen, I want to get some more people on to say hi to Arthur, because I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Keep moving forward, brother. You're doing awesome. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great night, everybody.
You too, bro.
You too, Steve. Thank you.
And we have Steve Doyle still on the line. We think we have Steve Doyle here to talk to Arthur as well. Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good, bro.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to phone in and just say thanks, Arthur. And like some of the other callers have said before, was just, you know what, when I'm feeling down and out and, you know, not wanting to do it, I just watch the video and I go, you know what, I have no excuse. You know, I'm 47. I had major back problems, knees, all that kind of stuff. I was a competitive karate fighter for the last 20 years. And beat myself up pretty good, and you know, this has made all the difference in being able to be mobile and get out with my kids and everything. You know, like I would put my back out, push my kids on a toboggan kind of thing, and you know, I put forward and kept crushing it with Ralph Bird's help from Australia, and you know, I got to the point where certification came up, and I pursued that and ended up being the first certified instructor in Canada. And, you know, I owe it all to the inspiration from the crew on the radio in Dallas. And I had a great time out in Vancouver training with Dallas for a couple of sessions at the one seminar out there. And then he actually came out to one of our karate dojos and trained with us all in person, about six or eight of us, which was awesome. So I just wanted to say thanks to everybody.
Thank you. That's a wonderful story.
Yeah. And
awesome.
I'll see you all in Mexico.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
See you in Mexico, Steve. Keep
you betcha. I'm looking forward
to
it.
There.
Thanks, bro. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bro.
And we have a couple more callers. We're going to try to get this rolling as soon as get as many people as we can. Stacy's going to peace out around 10 o'clock, so we're going to keep going as long as we can. And we got a couple more callers. So right now we're going to get to – who do we have on the line, Robert?
Next up is Susan.
Susan.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Obviously, Arthur, you are a worldwide inspiration for people. The reason I came to DDP Yoga is because of you. But because time is running short, I have a lot to thank you for and to say to you. But I'm just going to ask you some advice. With all due respect, it seems that, I think it's generally understood that men lose weight faster than women, and I'm not only a woman, but I'm over 65. I probably have been on diet since I'm a young teenager, and I'm just wondering if I've not even reached a plateau, but that if I'm almost like permanently stuck, if I can call it. I'm really concerned about that, about my metabolism just resisting. I started out with yoga on the level 3. A diet because I have so much weight to lose, but I really think that in journaling I see that, you know, that's around 1,200 calories, and I think that was too low, so I've gone back up to 1. But I just wonder if you have any advice, you know, if I can work things on the other level, I mean, in terms of the exercise, because I'm just in a holding pattern. I haven't really lost any weight. I'll just leave it at that. And as I said, I'm over 65. Like many people in the program, a long-time dieter, I'm just wondering if my body has basically got its hands folded, so to speak, inside and saying, now, there you go again. You know, because I will make a long story short. At one point, I was on a liquid diet that was medically supervised. It was 400 calories, lost 50 pounds. When I went up to 800 calories, I was gaining weight. I just would like some of your advice about women over 65, jogging the metabolism with exercise. Thank you.
Are you still online?
Hello?
Still there. Yeah, let me ask you a question. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. I will tell you I have osteoarthritis in both knees, so there are certain things I do even in the Diamond Dozen where I can literally feel my creaking knees. I mean, I can't really do, you know, a lot of the, you know, push-ups and things like that. I really have to, I'm on my own to try to modify them. Otherwise, I mean, that's my major problem. Some of the things I can't do because my weight is, and my stomach's getting in the way of certain moves, but I try to ad-lib, like, you know, you were suggesting, to sort of modify it in a way. So I appreciate what you said about, you know, being a special ed teacher and sort of thinking of not so much the specific, you know, form, but, you know, what is this trying to improve? So in general, no, I mean, I feel pretty good. I sleep well. You know, I have energy, but the knees are a problem.
Okay. I think I can answer your question. You ready?
Yes,
let me ask you one other question really fast. When you tape yourself, or is there any change in the tape measurements?
No, that's why I'm calling in. No, honestly, I mean, I am just staying put. You know?
To your question. Are you ready?
Yep.
First, I would suggest that you work on the intensity of your workout, that you work on not necessarily getting deeper into the position, but that you focus on moving with engagement. I want you to slow down what you do, become more aware of the muscle engagement as you go. Also, I want you to focus on core engagement, lifting, pulling up inside, lifting the sphincter up inside the body, pulling the muscles up inside. It's almost like you want to think about doing and holding a Kegel. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys who are listening, just trust me on this. Ladies, I took prenatal yoga, so I know what I'm talking about.
I've had children, so I know what you're talking about. With the
pulling
Kegel.
That and inwards. Right, you're pulling that up and inwards. You're squeezing the glutes at the same time, so you've got that core engagement. And I want you to think about maintaining that core engagement through the range of motion, whether it's arms or legs. Keep not just that part of the body engaged, but focus on the engagement through the range of motion, both what you're moving and what you're holding static. Does that make sense? So that will help you to... Muscle burns fat, and one of the reasons why I asked you if the tape measure was changing, if the tape measure is changing, it means you're building muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, scale is just a number. The tape measure is often your best friend, because a lot of people reach points where their body is still changing, but because muscle is denser than fat, they may actually be gaining weight. There was a young man who actually put on 50 pounds doing YRG, but he put on muscle.
Wow.
He only put a little bit of
fat,
but he put on a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
And you can do that. He was already in good shape. But, you know, you can do that. You can put on muscle, and muscle will burn fat. So you need to, if you're worried about that, I want you to focus on building muscle. Focus on intensity. Now, when you're focusing on that muscle intensity, you're going to have to really pay attention to your breath.
Okay.
Now, as to the other issues about the knees and the belly, you're going to have to find ways to modify around that. It sounds like you already are, and that's a good thing. With knees creaking, I just want you to know, you know, right now it's very humid where I'm at, and my joints creak too. And that's something you can work around. And, again, you might want to talk to a chiropractor, but... you know, a lot of times just really good preemptive icing will help a lot. Again, listening to the range of motion, maybe using extra padding for the knees, or not necessarily the head of the knee, but right below the kneecap on that lower leg bone to give you a little bit of support and to remove that knee from the ground. So there are a lot of little things you can do to help with that.
I see.
Again, watch. Yes.
No, please go ahead. I did have a quick question. When you're saying that breath helps to
focus on the muscle engagement. So is it?
Yes, it does.
Breathing more rhythmically, breathing more slowly, or both, something else?
Neither. Let me give you a thought. Think about your rib cage. How does the movement affect the rib cage? If you're bringing both arms forward, okay, when you roll the shoulders forward, when you're bringing both arms forward, what you're doing is you're constricting the rib cage. So that would be an exhale. If you're pulling the arms back, that would be an inhale. If you're moving in a large, expansive motion to open up the chest, that's going to be an inhale. If you're closing it through even as part of a large motion, that would be an exhale. So you're thinking about how your breath affects the motion. You see, there's a reciprocal relationship. Breath affects motion, motion affects breath. If you are in a spinal, you're going to have a hard time getting a deep breath. On the other hand, if you use that breath, little parts you can get to lengthen the spine, your exhale will allow you to get deeper into the twist. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I'm, believe it or not, I'm taking notes and writing things down. Not recently, but I also do Tai Chi Chen, and it's I think I want to try to, you know, sort of borrow some of my experience there with the coordination of breathing and movement. I mean, although what you said is different, and it's I don't want to impose the other one on top of the other, but I do think I understand what you're saying about the importance of building muscle, and especially, as you said, sort of core muscle. Right? You mean like in the torso area. Is that what you mean by core?
Yes. Basically, if you stop and think about it, you could, with only a few exceptions, most muscles in the body either start and end above or below the diaphragm. There are a couple of exceptions. Some of the erectors on the backside, I think, are exceptions to that. Let's see. In fact, that's most of the muscles that go past that. So, you know, you talk about the diaphragm. Diaphragm is the largest unpaired muscle in the human body. Okay? In other words, it only goes one way. It doesn't have, it's an agonist with a couple of synergists, but no antagonists. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, when you think about this, the muscles that sheathe the body, basically from the diaphragm to the hip flexors, core muscles. It does not matter how strong your arms and chest or your legs are. If you don't have core muscle strength, you cannot tie that together.
Yeah,
so you have
to
stabilize and strengthen your core. Does that help?
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to mention that I also very much appreciate your encouraging us to be persistent, but not to, you know, get hung up on numbers, you know, in other words, that, like you said, the important thing is to be healthy rather than to lose weight, although I think all of us are sitting out here and sort of saying, oh, really, no, I want to be healthy and lose weight, but I think I understand what you're saying, is that put the health first and, you know, be persistent and, you know, things come as they may. In other words, that may not be on the clock. I mean, we all would like to lose weight, a lot of weight really quickly, but, sort of, as you say, connect with ourselves.
Is because there are people who will do. I saw a teacher, and I really thought as a teacher she should have known better. But I saw a teacher one time who was getting ready for a wedding, and she felt like she had to drop 30 pounds, and she basically starved herself to the point where she was ineffective. She was exhausted all the time. She didn't look thin. She looked emaciated. I mean, it's the Dachau diet. She put herself on, like, zero calories, literally. Drinking lemon juice and water and some kind of peppers and some weird thing she read about on the Internet. And it's supposed to be this crash cleansing. And I'll be honest, I really think it hurt her. At a physical level, I think she may have damaged herself, you know, doing it. But, yes, she lost the weight. But, no, she wasn't healthy.
Right.
Susan, we got to get going because the show is – we're running out of time here.
Well, thank you so much,
Arthur,
and everyone else. Thank you so much.
Stacey wanted to say Susan, Stacey wanted to say something to you real quick before you leave, and then Stacey's
going to say – Okay, sure.
And
I appreciate that.
Okay, Susan, I don't know if you're in the chat room. I just put something up, but I was in my mid-40s when I started this at a time when the conventional wisdom says a woman's life is downhill from there, and, we gain weight easier. I dropped 185 pounds in my late 40s. I'm now in my 50th year. And I'm keeping it off. I look and feel better than I did in my 20s. I'm not in my 60s yet, but Terry Lang is in her 60s, and she is a very similar situation. So I say this to give you some hope to grab onto. It's definitely possible to turn your metabolism, your life, your body, and your mind around. It takes some time and some strategizing. But I wanted to say that before I sign off. And everyone who's going to Mexico, have a fantastic time, especially Mike and Robert. You guys work so hard on the show, and I hope you have a great time. And we'll see you in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be missed, Miss Stacey.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Good night. Thank you. Thank you all. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, Susan, for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Really
we're
fast
gonna
for the next
in a couple more callers real quick, and we got to sign off in just a minute because we're running out of time. But Robert, who do we have on the line next?
Yeah, we've got two more callers left. The first one's going to be Diane.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, good. All right. I'll try and keep it brief. Arthur, I have to thank you. Thank your son. I have hope. I'm a newbie, but I have hope, and it makes me emotional. I've got a lot of stuff to do. I'm 53, and I just want to do a lot of things with this life to help other people. So thank you. God bless you. One thing I'd like to ask is, first, it's a two-parter. You can do it real quick. Your modifications, are they available somewhere to see how you modified?
I put a couple of videos on the website.
Okay. All right, I'll try to find them.
With that, and wants to put some of them out. I'm also trying to work out some kind of operational paradigm so people can understand what I'm doing with this.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely need those. Secondly, my brother, on his behalf, I come here because he has, I know you're not doctors, I know you can't help, but he's got that rheumatoid arthritis, and he also has, I don't know if what came first, the chicken or the egg, the arthritis came that caused the degenerative bone, I don't know, he's compressing, his back is compressing, and I mean, geez, he's only like 56. So I'm trying to help him, watch this because he's such a vital person, too, and he doesn't complain. He would never complain, but I can see it in his eyes and the way he carries himself that he's in excruciating pain. So is there any way you could address people that have had success who have the arthritis?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, if you're having let me get specific first. For your brother with his issues, he's been checked up, I would suggest again a chiropractor before an MD. But if he gets checked out by a doc of some kind, to work on this with his back. If there's no other organic issue, I would suggest he spend extra time at the beginning and the end of the workout in pinfall and in safety zone. Spend a couple of two, three minutes in safety zone. And then at the end of his workout, spend a couple of extra minutes again in the spinal twist, a couple of extra minutes in pinfall or in dead man at the end of it. And I would really recommend, rather than, because it's a spinal issue, than doing dead man, I'd recommend you do pinfall. So when everybody else going into dead man, I suggest you go into pinfall and just stay there. The reason is having the knees up and the feet in changes the angle of the hip, and it takes the pressure off the lumbar spine.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, sir. And so the modifications, again, for me, because I'm just beginning, go somewhere on the website and I'll find yours.
Yeah, yeah. Arthur, your Team Deep Yoga profile has all kinds of videos like that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So if you search Arthur Borman on Team DDP Yoga and check out his videos, he should have a ton of stuff on there that he's posted throughout his journey as well. So.
Well, God bless you, Arthur. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Can I put something out really, buddy? Yeah,
what's
if
that?
Anybody has any questions, always, please, please, please feel free to email me. On the team website, I sit down at least once a week, usually more than that, especially during the summer. Right now during the summer, I'm going to that thing every day and I'm checking it out. But during the school year when I'm really, really at the busiest, I still check it out at least once a week and I answer the email, the messages that I get on the website. So please, if you got any questions, feel free. And seeing as it's summer, I'm going to try and get back on the show if I can, if you guys need me.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, man. That would be great. That would be awesome. I mean, having Arthur Borman on the show is like having, like, the PhD of DDP yoga, like, giving us advice. So we'll take it anytime. But we have one last caller tonight before we wrap things up. We're running a little late tonight, but Sarah is on the line. Is Sarah in the house? Thank you. I did that.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, hey. Well, I'll try to make this really quick since I was like the last person. And you might have talked about this at the beginning. I was a little late signing on. But I was just wondering, I'm a female. I'm in my late 20s and have struggled my whole life with body image and, you know, chased every crash diet and every quick fix to try to change myself to be okay with me. I was wondering if you could just maybe talk a little bit about kind of the mental or emotional change that you went through by practicing yoga and also like kind of like a self-care plan, kind of how DDP lays out for us in the book he's sent us. I just got my videos not too long ago, so I'm really new at this, but I really don't want this to be just another piece of workout equipment I buy or another diet I try, but really a full lifestyle change. And I really think it for me, it needs to start on the inside with how I view myself in order to be successful and to really get that lasting change that I'm looking for.
Well, there are a lot of things I can say to you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the where I think this will be different for you than just buying another machine is exactly what's going on right now. You know, this isn't a machine that's sitting out there and you go up there by yourself, get on the machine by yourself, work on the machine by yourself, and get off the machine by yourself. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are not alone. I'm going to say it a third time because it's that important. You are not alone. And to anybody else out there, you're not alone because we're all here. We are all going through the same thing with you. Now, I'll be honest, it's kind of hard for me to relate to a 20-year-old woman because I'm a senior citizen and I'm a guy. But I guarantee you there are other 20-year-old women on the website. Find them. Use someone who is like you to hold you accountable. The people that I'm best at holding accountable are the people who are like me, midlife guys, older guys. Find someone who's like you and make them your buddy. Hold each other accountable. I've got people, I'm not going to name names, but I've got people who sit there and I say, well, I had a rough day today or I had a good day today, and they say the same thing back to me. And they hold me accountable and I hold them accountable. And we all do that for each other. And that's one way where this is different than having that machine. Okay? We hold each other accountable. Participating in the community will help you to hold yourself accountable. Does that make sense? I hope that does.
No, that totally does. How do you get, like, really involved in the community or more involved? It feels really uncomfortable at first or, like, kind of weird. But I listened to y'all on the radio, and, you know, I believe in the program and what makes it unique and different. I just don't know how to, like, really take the first steps in getting myself involved.
Can I use an analogy?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got an unusual hobby. I'm a cosplayer. I'm one of those guys that goes to fiction convention dressed up as a monster.
Oh, okay.
When I first started, I was just out there trying. I was trying my best, but I didn't know a lot. So I went and I hung out with the people who were doing better than me. And I didn't talk to the 18-year-old girl. I talked to the 50-year-old guy. Again, the guy who was like me, who was, you know, a guy named Mark McDickin, who was a brilliant cosplayer. And I was asking, how do you do this? How do you do that? And he gave me a lot of tips. And he gave me a lot of encouragement, too. And that's the thing. You get out, you go out there and you try, and you talk to people. And you're already doing a lot of that. You're out here now. You're talking to me. You're going on the website, and you've seen people on the website. Get involved in some of the chat rooms. Look at some of the conversation threads and just kind of ask questions. Listen to the answers. You don't necessarily even have to write in there. You can just lurk in the chat room. I mean, a lot of people lurk and get a lot out of it. I mean, oftentimes I'll go there and there'll be a conversation going, and I don't want to drop into it because the minute I drop into a conversation, it seems like the whole conversation dries up because everybody's expecting me to be brilliant. And I'm not. I'm actually kind of an idiot.
Oh, man, I was going to let the cat out of the bag.
Letting that conversation go and just watching it sometimes can be a very good learning experience. So you're already doing a lot of the things you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of you asked about body image, and
yes,
this is important. I was at a point one time where I had a very negative body image. I didn't like to have my picture taken. And I'm still getting over that, which is really funny for a guy who likes to dress up in costumes. I'm still getting over not liking having my picture taken. But liking yourself happens on external and internal levels. It doesn't matter what you look like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? Do you do something that's worthwhile? I mean, I work with disabled children for a living.
I
love what I do. And I feel good about myself because of that. Everybody does something. You know, service is one of the highest callings. You do something that helps other people, you should feel good about that. On the other hand, if you make something that other people value enough to buy it, then you are creating something worthwhile. You are contributing to society, and that's a good thing. So you should find something, and it's something real. It's not something artificial. I'm not saying just say, oh, I got up and I'm dressed. Oh, here I am. I'm wonderful. No, I'm saying there are things about all of us, that are real and that are authentic and that are worth liking ourselves, that are worth respect.
Absolutely.
Recognize it. I'm not saying make it up. I'm saying recognize it because it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Already there. You just have to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for calling in. We are almost out of time, so I just want to say thank you so much to Arthur Borman. You were so insightful today and so just profound in a lot of the stuff you have to say. Your story is an inspiration to so many people in this community, so I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on with us, and we want to have you on again sometime this summer, a few times if you can. And
okay.
I will see you in Mexico, my friend.
I will be there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Arthur. We appreciate it. What an awesome show today. Arthur is, like, so profound in the things he has to say. He's been through a lot. His journey has meant so much to so many people. But we are completely out of time. Robert, myself, and Arthur will see you guys at the DDP Yoga Retreat. We are mere days away. Thank you so much, Robert, for running things and keeping things all organized for us and being a crucial member of this show. And for Stacey Morris and Robert McLaren, I am Mike Mullins. Until next time, remember this. Every day you wake up and there's air in your lungs and blood pulsing through your veins, it's a new chance to own your life. So own it, my friends. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Stacey. I'll see you guys in Mexico. For DDP Radio, we're out.
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Into the Diamond Cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond Cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.